Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products. Insuring over 1,000 churches and religious ministries in Kentucky, Alabama, and Tennessee, and even insuring those who attend church, too. If you'd like a personalized, no-obligation quote, you can call 865-922-3111. Or visit them online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics, as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX-4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
What do you get when you have over 10 articles that tell us the Bible is spot on, add 4 listener questions that show us the Holy Spirit is stirring in the hearts of his kids, plus 1 pastor who has spent the last 2 weeks in Israel with a million things on his heart to share? Well, it all adds up to the Signs of the Times, our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, September 26, 2025. Now, you can listen or watch any of our episodes again. You can share them with your skeptical friends. You know you have them. You can read the articles we talk about. You can ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question. You can get a mortgage loan. No, you can't do that. But you can do all those other things when you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net or grab our Way Media app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here's someone whose train of thought derailed. And unfortunately, there were no survivors. And that's Pastor Mark, who many years ago started his own business and opened a gym where he had his exercise instructors go door to door telling everyone about the benefits of his new gym. He named it Jehovah's Fitness. So.
There you go. You might give them an idea. They may start their own workout program with their... false ministry.
But yes. So anyway. And false results.
No. Yes.
Anyway,
yes.
Okay, so enough of that. We've got a ton of things to talk about. Yeah. So let's start with what's happened over the last 2 weeks in your trip to Israel, and then you can back into everything.
Yeah, we're just going to take a while to talk, guys, and catch up. First of all, so good to be back with you guys. I missed everybody for the couple weeks I was gone. It's so good to be with you again. So much has happened. I was mentioning to the body on Wednesday night, you know, you go away for 2 weeks and the world changes. Literally, it changed. And so, and I could feel the change. It wasn't just here in America. It was all over the world, of course, with the Charlie Kirk assassination. And regardless of how you feel about Charlie Kirk, it affected the whole world. I was astounded, Greg, at watching all the different nations that were having events for Charlie Kirk. It was the impact that he had was pretty profound. Yeah. I guess you don't realize how big an impact you have until you're gone. But I mentioned to our body, and I'll say it again now to our listeners today, I think that his ministry now is going to be much larger than it ever was when he was alive. I think the fruit and what's going to take place now is going to surpass anything that happened at this point. You know, history shows us the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And whenever someone is killed for the name of Christ, God uses it in amazing ways. Not one drop of blood is ever wasted. And I think that's what's going to happen with Charlie Kirk. You know, it was just tremendous. Even here, just, you know, I know they had a memorial on campus with a couple of senators there and all, and had a great turnout. And then we had Our church did something on campus, a prayer vigil on campus, and we had a huge turnout of people down there, really, for a prayer vigil.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at it on our webpage or something, like just announcing it. There was something like almost 30,000 likes on our webpage just from announcing that prayer vigil. So again, just shows you, and of course, the impact that he's having when people just realize what's going on. It's truly amazing to watch what's happening. And I know there's a huge spiritual stirring right now because of this. Whether or not there'll be a revival, I don't know. I think we have to wait and see. I think to immediately say, yes, there's a revival, we have to be careful there. There's certainly a huge spiritual stirring, and it may be a revival, but just a tremendous, it's interesting to watch what God's doing in these days. Greg, when they had the memorial that President Trump and they all did, at the 100,000 people, they said 100 million people, they said, were watching, rather. 100,000 there in person or something, 100 million watching online. I heard a number maybe as high as 1 billion for reshares and around the world. I don't know. Either way, it's almost like, again, that God just took a pulpit of the earth and spoke to the earth last Sunday. And the gospel was preached. They said it was probably the largest gospel outreach in the history of the world at one time. And so, again, like I said, regardless of where you stand on the issue, God is using this in just huge and amazing ways. And, of course, we need to be praying for his wife, Erica, yeah, and their children and all those involved, and really for our nation. But to watch what's happening, it's like there's this big spiritual thing going on right now. And, again, it's not just because of what happened with Charlie Kirk, but you're watching the enemy rise up and do a lot of things. We'll talk about it in just a moment. I'll get to that as far as some of the UN stuff. But let me kind of share what happened over the last couple of weeks when we were gone. We took a trip. We went to Jordan, and what a tremendous trip that was. I've been there twice now to go to Petra, and this was even much more impacting because I made more of a focal point of really trying to, the first time you go, you're kind of absorbing everything. After you go once, you go back, and now you've got a little bit of a foundation you can build on it. And we really spent some time there on Mount Nebo, and all the things you could see there that happened. From this one mountain there in Jordan, Greg, you could see where Balak and Balaam were there cursing, trying to curse the children of Israel.
Mm.
You could see where the children of Israel crossed over into the Promised Land. You could see where John the Baptist did his baptisms. You could see where Jesus was baptized. You could see where Elijah went up in the chariot. You could see, of course, Elijah with him. From that one spot, all those things you could see right there. You're looking at it. And you think about, you read all these things in the Bible and you realize how small that land and that area really is, that you can see it all in that one place. And then, of course, we went down from there, down to Machaerus, where John the Baptist was beheaded. That's where Herod kept John. That's one of Herod's palaces. He kept John there for almost the last year of his life. And just to see where they were up there, and having the big party there.
And so
there
that was in Jordan.
It's in Jordan. Having the big party, and you can see where they walked right around. We went to the cell where he was and kind of went in there and stood. You can just say, this is where he spent his last... That's where John went to heaven, right there. They came in there and cut his head off right there. So we were there in the place where John went to be with the Lord. And I was thinking about that one spot. You had John go to be with the Lord there. Moses went to be with the Lord there. Elijah went to be with the Lord there. I mean, it's such an impacting spot there at Mount Nebo. You don't think about it till you just start looking at all the things that happened right there. And, of course, John didn't die at Mount Nebo, but in that area, that's where they all went up there. So tremendous spiritual experience there. Then, of course, you went down to Petra, where the children of Israel will be fleeing. They're at the 3.5-year point. When the Antichrist stands up and declares that he's God, they're going to flee down there to Petra.
You see a welcome Jews banner down there getting prepared.
Yeah, what's interesting is the opposite. They really hate the Jewish people. Now, the Jordanians in general don't. But the Bedouins, they really, the Bedouin Arabs, they have a real hatred for the Jews there. And so there's a real aggression toward, right now, especially all this going on with Gaza and all that's happening there. But we had a chance to share the gospel right there. They call it the, I don't know if it's supposed to be the treasury. Now they're starting to think maybe it was something different. But in the Raiders of the Lost Ark, it kind of was the big, one of the things there where he's in front of at Petra. And
yes.
Well, I did a Bible study right there.
Oh, how cool.
And yeah, and there were people around. There were native Jordanians and others that were there and all. And people listening in. It was interesting. So, and we got out of there. I thought, by the time I'm done sharing, it might be another episode of Raiders of the Lost Ark. I might be the one running with big swords chasing me, and trying to get out of there.
Yes.
But thankfully, nobody tried to kill me. But there is some hostility there toward the Jews because of all that's happening. But they love Americans.
Yeah.
And I think most anybody, I don't think there were any real enemies that heard me and what I was sharing. So it was a good chance to preach the gospel there. And kind of Raiders of the Lost Mark.
Yes.
I guess, because if I didn't come out, but I made it out. So that didn't happen. But either way, then we left from there and went down to Eilat, which is at the very bottom of modern-day Israel. They're at the Red Sea. And we worked our way all the way up. We saw the whole nation from top to bottom. Something I'd never done.
You went all the way to Tel Dan.
And, yes. And something I'd never done, Greg, there's an outdoor, there's a life-size model of the tabernacle down there in the wilderness right up from Eilat. Mm. So we stopped and had a tour through that and got to see exactly what the size was, what it looked like, everything. It was really great.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a wonderful time as well. And then, of course, just being there in the nation of Israel with the people, they are a people in trauma right now. We had a wonderful time, felt very safe, never felt in danger, and had a very safe, wonderful trip, able to travel freely in Jordan and Israel without any issues, and really had the nation to ourselves because there's very few tour groups. They said we were the largest tour group they'd had in 2 years.
Mm.
And so the only tour group our tour guide had had in 2 years. So, but it looks like it's starting back up again right now. And I spoke to someone else even today, this morning, that's going to go with a group here in March. So people are starting to go back over there now. I think this thing's kind of wrapping up in Gaza and they see that and they're starting to go back over. But they're a nation in trauma. The reason being is they're a very small nation. And whenever these events happen, like October 7th and all those soldiers that are now dying, I think some 1,000 soldiers that have died there in battle in Gaza since this started, everybody knows everybody. Somebody knows someone that died. Somebody's family to someone. And so because they're so small and so they're all in trauma. And I'll tell you, it's the most receptive I've ever seen the people for the gospel and for Christians. We had several opportunities to share the gospel. I got to share with an Israeli sergeant who was very attentive and asking me questions about the law. How do we pay for the law as a Christian compared to the civil and moral law, and was able to share the gospel on the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, he was their Passover lamb and Jesus, of course, dying on Mount Moriah. And he just listened the whole time. And he was like, you know what? That's very... He said, okay, that's reasonable, and I hear what you're saying. He was very open,
mm.
and so others share with me about people they share with. So I think the nation, you know, one of the things I said before we left was I think that God is breaking them down to be open to the gospel here in the last days. That's what I experienced. I believe right now the nation of Israel is the most receptive to the gospel that I've ever seen them in over 30 years of going to Israel. This is the most receptive to the gospel I think I've ever seen them. And they were stopping us in the streets and thanking us. Thank you for coming. Thank you for visiting. Nobody's coming to see us. Thank you that you're here. And
wow.
Of course, after just being there a couple of days, all the shop owners knew my wife. And so they seriously did. It was amazing. Like, oh, the pastor's here. Your wife was here. Your wife was here. I'm like, she went everywhere. And so I'm afraid to look at the credit card. I'm kidding. But either way, we had a wonderful time. And again, it was great to be able to go and to be there to share the gospel and to minister and to see the country. And just to let you know, if you're thinking about a trip to Israel, it is safe. I mean, we didn't feel in any type of danger whatsoever, and again, had a wonderful time, and again, had the country to ourselves for the most part. There were no crowds, you know, be the only tourist bus at a spot. It was so different.
Yeah.
I'm used to seeing it packed. And Greg, get this, there were some places, they were so shocked that a tour group was there, they weren't even open. They had to open up the museum where the boat was, open up the gift shop. We had another place, they had to open up, and they were like, what? There's a tourist group? They were turning lights on and getting behind the counter. They were shocked.
Wow.
And it was wonderful in the sense of being able to encourage them in that.
Yeah.
It was great in the sense of no crowds, except my heart breaks that people aren't going, and that's a big part of their income, the tourism.
Huge part of their income.
But God is preparing the nation of Israel, and I saw it firsthand. Their hearts are being prepared. Be praying for the children of Israel.
Yeah.
God is getting them ready to pour out his spirit and for a great revival in the last days that it talks about in the scriptures. God is doing it. And so, again, just a tremendous couple of weeks and expecting wonderful fruit out of it and really wonderful fruit out of what God is doing. As tragic as what we've seen here happen in our nation the last couple of weeks, God is going to use all of it. You know, you watch the spiritual tension. I feel like we're at a place where there's a spiritual tension that's rising. And not just what happened with Charlie Kirk and then what's happening now with the nation of Israel and all those kind of things, but at the same time now, shifting gears and looking at the UN, and again, we may get to some of these articles, I'm sure we will, and we'll briefly touch on them, but I want to talk freely as we just discuss it. As many of our listeners may or may not know, there were 10 nations that declared a Palestinian state here in the last couple of weeks. And of course, it really means nothing in the sense of there is no Palestinian state. And there's no land to even declare a nation. They're just doing a mental, psychological, political statement. But Greg, what it's doing, it's preparing the world mentally for when the Antichrist comes on the scene and declares them a state. And there's going to be a dividing of the land at some point. Joel chapter 3 talks about it, and God will be bringing in judgment from that. But to see this all happening at the same time, it's almost like the enemy comes in like a flood. God raises up a standard. God saw all these nations doing this. And so it seems as though you see God raising up a standard, stirring the Christians in America. And again, as tragic as it is to see what happened here with Charlie Kirk, God is using this, I think, to stir the church and stir many people in different ways. And I think you see this spiritual battle going on in the heavenlies right now, getting ready for the last days. The rapture coming up at some point, and of course the Antichrist will step on the scene and they'll be able to really declare a Palestinian state, to give it some land and to give it some legs and to go with it, and that whole process of the final 7 years. So again, keep your eye on the UN, just so many things that are happening. And even nations that, again, I think you're going to see some nations further decline, like Canada and the UK and France. You think, how could they further decline? Well, they're taking a real stand against Israel. And as we've talked about numerous times in the past, whenever you take a real stand against Israel, at some point you're headed downward. Now, this is where I want our nation to be praying. Guys, be praying for our president. Again, I know that probably most that listen to this broadcast love our president. Maybe some that listen to this broadcast don't love our president. But regardless of where you come from in the president, forget your politics. We're talking spiritual matters here on Signs of the Times. Any leader who takes a stand against Israel is in big trouble. And President Trump is on an edge of a very slippery slope right here. So I want you guys to be praying that God will not only give him wisdom, courage of the people around him to encourage him to do the right thing. He's not messed up yet, but he's on the edge where he could make a big mistake that would bring him down as a president. And anybody that goes against Israel and going against their land that God has given them, we've watched over the years, they just go down rapidly. We saw President Bush just go down rapidly when he took a stand against Israel and gave away, again, the Gaza thing. He's the one that helped to pull them out and really help this big mess we have now.
That's true.
And Ariel Sharon, who went along with him, you know, again, hit a stroke right afterwards, 6 years in a coma. You saw Rabin, who gave away land, and an assassin's bullet took him out. I'm not saying that God's going to kill anybody. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not, none of that. Again, we pray for the protection of our president. Be praying that our president, we know a lot of people would love to take the president out in that way. So we need to pray for protection for the president, that he doesn't ever get, you know, assassinated. No one can get, they've already tried twice, that they don't get to him. And most of all, that he makes the right decisions pertaining to the nation of Israel, because even if he's not taken out that way, which God forbid, and we pray that never happens, we've watched other leaders that God just slowly brings nations down and leaders down in their popularity and their ability to function. God just kind of, you know, lets the air out of the balloon if they go against Israel. And again, we saw the most recent President Bush, you know, where he was riding high. I remember when he was riding high in the polls, if you remember, when he did that whole Gaza thing. And right after Gaza, he just dropped. He went from something like 70% approval and riding high after second election to dropping down to 30%, and he never recovered.
He drowned with Hurricane Katrina.
Yes, he never recovered because he made a stand against Israel giving their land away. And my big concern is that one of the things that happened as a result of this, the declarations by these 10 nations. And this is
10 nations. I know, that's an interesting number.
I know. And I've thought of that already. It has nothing to do with the 10 toes, because some of the nations are significant, but the others are so insignificant.
But there's numerology involved.
Yeah, but certain ones of them are so insignificant. Yeah. These aren't the 10 nations. So don't run with that one. I just want to encourage everybody. Don't run with it. However, it is a foreshadowing of 10 nations who will come together later. And so these 10 nations right now that have gone against Israel, we're declaring a Palestinian state, again, which means nothing. They can't do it yet. There's no land, whatever. And then Gaza again, the Hamas crying out. They've strung the president along, you know, just so many times. We'll make a deal. And he keeps doing it. This time he announced again yesterday and today that it looks like there's a deal. So I don't know if they're stringing him along again, but
they are.
But here's what happened. Because they declared the Palestinian state, it pushed Israel on the other side to say, well, then we're taking Judea and Samaria, which is really biblical Israel. The world calls it the West Bank, but it's biblical Israel. We're going to declare this Israel. So there have been like kind of these rumblings in the background of declaring it Israel. And even Ambassador Huckabee saying, you know, hey, we stand with you if that's what you want to do, that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, President Trump, they asked him about it yesterday, and he said, no, I will not allow them to do that. Now,
that's not good.
Not good at all. Now, I don't think he stepped over a line yet. In other words, he didn't say he was going to prevent them from doing it. He said, I'm not going to allow it. I think he's talking politically. He's trying to make the deal with Gaza. He's trying to make everybody happy. So I don't think we've crossed a line yet. But this is very dangerous ground for our nation and for our president, because God doesn't care about liberal, conservative. God doesn't care how popular or unpopular. God says, I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. And God said, I gave the land back to the Jews in the last days. I'm going to bring them back in the last days. And anybody that fights against that is going to go down. It doesn't mean they're going to die. It doesn't mean they're going to be, you know, something's going to happen that way. But I mean, they're going to go down like President Bush did in their popularity, in their ability to function and that kind of stuff. So it's going to be a thing where you're going to see UK go down. You're going to see France go down. You're going to see Canada go down. All these nations that are doing this, you're going to see repercussions. And you're going to see America is on the cusp of a great explosion of going up. And what you're going to see is if President Trump makes a stand against Israel and they want to declare that their land, if God is trying to give them that now and President Trump stands in the way, not only is God going to remove him out of the way in some politically in some form and fashion. Again, I want to make it very clear that I'm not speaking about any kind of physical harm. I'm not. I'm talking about political harm. But in some kind of political way, if he's going to be removed because his popularity is going to drop or those kind of things, our nation is going to go down and our president is going to go down. We need to be praying that he makes the right decision to stand with the nation of Israel and continue to pray for protection for the president, physical protection. There are so many people that would wish to harm him. And so we need our leadership right now. We need them to be protected. And, you know, it's interesting when you see this whole thing, a bullet's very small. It can get a very small area and just one wrong moment at the wrong time, somebody can be taken out. And, that's what we don't need right now. And so, be praying for our president, be praying for the leadership, but most of all, be praying that he stands with the nation of Israel and that he doesn't bring the country down in God's eyes because of going against what God wants to do for the people in the last days. This is an area that God takes very, very personal. He takes very serious. He says, do not touch the land. He says, that is mine. I've given it to Israel. Don't get in the way. So the president may be trying to encourage them or influence them in some directions, one thing. But if he takes action to either take land away from them or prevent them from moving forward in what God has given them, then God's going to intervene on that. And we're all in big trouble. It affects our whole nation. So let's just be praying that we keep the right path going here, that we don't go down the wrong direction, and be praying for President Trump for great wisdom, for great protection, for people around him to give him godly counsel, and that he would listen to that counsel.
Yeah, heed the counsel.
That's
yes.
The thing. He's got to listen to that counsel. And when I heard him say that yesterday, again, it wasn't like, oh, no, he's crossed a line. But I mean, Greg, I shuddered. It's like, whoa, what do you mean you're not going to let them declare that Israel? That's none of your business. That's none of your business as to whether you let or not let. You don't own that land. You're not God. You're the president. You're not God. You can do that with countries, other countries. With Israel, you can't do that. God deals with Israel, God's land. God determines who gets the land. God will determine what he wants to do with the land. Man has to stay out of the way or man's in big trouble. And this is where we could see a president who's being very blessed and having great success suddenly go down the drain. In his success very rapidly if he does the wrong thing. So, again, I wanted to take some time talking about this, be praying for the president. I think that most of us love our president. We want our president to succeed. I want any president to succeed. I don't care who they are. You know, it's interesting, Greg, liberal or Democrat, all the years I've been saved, I don't care what president's in there. I want them to succeed for our nation. Now, I don't want them to succeed in doing evil, but I want them to succeed for our nation. We need to be praying for any president, liberal or Democrat. The Bible says to pray for all of them. So regardless of your political leanings, whether a President Obama is in there or a President Trump is in there, we need to be praying for our leaders. And this is a very pivotal time to be praying for our nation, because once you start messing with Israel's land, now you're messing with God, and it is a big, big deal. So keep your eyes on that. Keep praying for our president. Keep praying for our nation. And be excited in the sense that all this spiritual electricity in the air right now just shows that we're that much closer to the return of the Lord. So, again, that's my opening monologue. That's what I wanted to share. And so I'm ready to jump into articles, but I really wanted to pour my heart out before we headed down that road. That rings a bell.
Yes, I'm sure it does. There. I'm sure that was your wake-up alarm clock when you were in Israel, right?
That's right. So they came in the room playing that. What are you doing in my room?
You were at a fancy hotel.
Get out of my room.
Tracy probably ordered that.
Yeah,
it was one
service.
Of the things she bought. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. All Israel news. This is dated September 17th. European Union set to discuss possible sanctions against Israel. This is just the European Union getting together to discuss We Hate Israel plans.
Yeah.
Including funding cuts and entry bans on ministers.
Yeah, remember in Matthew 24, Greg, again, it says the entire world will turn against Israel in the last days. Are we not seeing that happen before our very eyes? It's amazing to me to see how much of the church is falling for this and going right along and hating Israel when the Bible warns us everyone will hate Israel in the last days. God has warned us about it. God said, don't stand with those that hate Israel. Stand with those that love Israel. And you're going to see, again, this is now the European Union, which is where the Antichrist will come out of. Of course, they're standing against Israel. When he comes on the scene, he's going to pretend to be with Israel for a short amount of time, but then he's going to turn on them. And so we're just seeing, again, this same spirit moving against Israel. Prime Minister Netanyahu mentioned today how isolated they are as a nation.
We'll talk about that in our next article.
They are isolated, absolutely. And so the College of Commissioners of the European Union, led by the European Commission, President Ursula von der Leyen, is scheduled to convene on Wednesday in Brussels to begin the process of imposing sanctions on Israel. Following her speech in the European Parliament last week, the Commission is expected to approve an official statement which includes imposing sanctions on funding Israeli entities, proposal to the EU Foreign Affairs Council to impose sanctions on extremist ministers. Again, they're talking about anybody that would say that it's Israel's land, etc. As well, not, and of course, the government ministers, not like pastors, as well as the violent settlers, and proposal to the Foreign Affairs Council to suspend certain clauses of trade agreements with Israel. Yesterday, it was reported that the European Commission is also considering the imposition of tariffs on food products from Israel. So don't be shocked by this. The whole world's going to turn against them. God's allowing it to break Israel, to bring them to a place of repentance, to receive the Lord. And then God's going to step in and fight for them. And again, many of them will be saved, and God's going to be glorified. So keep your eye on that.
IsraelHayom.com, dated September 15th, Netanyahu saying that Israel is facing diplomatic isolation and must prepare for a, quote-unquote, Athens and super Sparta economy.
Absolutely. Netanyahu spoke Monday to the Accountant General's Conference and issued a significant warning. Again, Israel's entering diplomatic isolation. This is like reading the Bible. I read this, Grandma. This is straight out of Matthew 24, straight out of the scriptures. They're going to be isolated. He says, we will have to deal with a closed economy. The world is dividing into blocks, and we are not part of any block. That makes it easier to isolate us. We also have a technological and scientific advantage that creates dependence on us and gives others an interest in maintaining ties with us. We may find ourselves blocked not only in research and development, but also in production itself. Our defense industries could be blocked, and we will have to be in Athens and Super Sparta, adapting to an autarkic economy. We have no choice, at least for the coming years. We'll have to cope with these attempts at isolation, and we must first develop the ability to manage our own. Now, Israel has always adapted. They are an incredibly adaptable people, and they will. And God's going to bless them. But he's right. He doesn't know, based on the scripture, what's going on, because he doesn't know the Lord or the Bible, the New Testament. But they are going to be isolated, Greg. The process has begun. And I want our listeners to know, you're watching the Bible take place before your very eyes. Don't miss this.
Zechariah.
Don't just write this off as, oh, poor Israel, and oh, this, and that's what they get because they're doing this. No, God said this would happen. And he's allowing it, remember, to break them. To break them down, even as God broke you down to bring you to Christ. He's breaking them down to open their eyes and bring them to Christ. He's going to be their hero. I wish they all would be saved. There'll be a large portion saved. Not all of them will be. All of true Israel will be. That is, those of spiritual Israel. Everything the Bible said. Just, I'm watching. It's an amazement. You're reading. When you read the paper, you're reading the Bible. It is happening. It's time to be excited and have your eyes on heaven and praying for Israel.
All right, as we head into the 38th and 39th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, we visit the Jerusalem Post for an article dated September 24th that says Iran's Air Force has received or is receiving a batch of Russian MiG-29S fighter jets.
Yeah, again, you see this alliance with Russia and Iran here staying strong and getting stronger in a move to revitalize its aging Air Force. Iran has reported to have retrieved Russian MiG-29 fighter jets. Well, let me just say, not only aging Air Force, almost insignificant and gone because Israel destroyed most all of it, marking the beginning of a military upgrade that may possibly include advanced aircraft and air defense systems. A member of the country's Parliament National Security Committee said the jets, currently based in Shiraz, present a short-term solution while Tehran awaits the arrival of more sophisticated Su-35 jets. The announcement made through Iran's news portal comes amid a broader influx of Russian and Chinese military hardware into the Islamic Republic. Alongside the MiG-29s, Tehran will be acquiring Russian S-41 air defense systems and China's HQ-9 air defense system in significant numbers. And I quote, "Once these systems are fully in place, our enemies will understand the language of power." Now, again, what a joke that is. You're never going to have, you know, God is going to keep you from having any real power because, you know, Israel is going to always be dominating them. But they are going to be, again, linking with Russia. And this, you know, when you watch Russia going rogue right now, you can see how Russia could be ready just to do this whole thing against Israel, because even in the face of the mighty military of the United States of America, they're just kind of thumbing their nose at President Trump. And so Russia, for whatever the reason right now, they're bold in what they're doing, and the stage is easily set. Who knows when the invasion will take place, but the stage is easily set if they should choose to do it. So again, just watch for the further strengthening of Russian-Iranian ties. They're going to link up, they're going to move on Israel, and God's going to intervene and wipe them out.
As we come back over here to America, we will visit the state of Michigan by way of a Fox News article dated September 16th, where a Dearborn mayor is telling a Christian, "You are not welcome here," at a city meeting.
Greg, I'll tell you, Michiganistan's greatest fears are coming to pass because they are truly turning into an Islamic bastion.
Yes.
Which now they actually have the call to prayer five times in certain areas over the loudspeakers there in Michigan. I mean, in certain areas, you're hearing the call to prayer, the Islamic call to prayer. Where is our nation gone? Where has gone the nation that was honoring God into that portion that's now honoring false gods?
It has come in through the Trojan horse of political correctness.
It really has. And we're foolishly destroying ourselves by allowing this to happen. And then when a Christian shares a concern about them naming a street after a terrorist, then he's the one that's the bad guy. Listen to this. Yeah. At the Dearborn City Council meeting last week, Mayor Abdullah H. Hamoud, that says it all. It does. Told the local resident, Ted Barham, a Christian, that he was not welcome in the city after he raised concerns about new street signs honoring Arab American news publisher Osama Sablani. Sablani was placed at intersections on Warren Avenue by the Wayne County, his signs honoring him. But the mayor escalated the debate, saying, telling Barham, "Although you live here, you're not welcome here." Think about that. Your mayor telling you you're not welcome in your town.
An American citizen.
Yes. Here's who this Sablani is. He's a promoter of Hezbollah and Hamas. He talks about the blood of the martyrs. Here's a quote from him. "The blood of the martyrs irrigates the land of Palestine. Whether we're in Michigan or whether Yemen, believe me, everyone should fight within his means. They will fight with stones. Others will fight with guns. Others fight with planes, drones, and rockets." He's saying, kill the infidels. Basically, attack the infidels here in America. Kill them anywhere you do it. And they're putting up signs honoring him.
Wow.
This is America, Greg.
Yeah.
This is America.
The enemy is truly within.
Yeah, and so this mayor, a mayor says the best, this un-American mayor. That's all I'm saying. He's an un-American mayor. He says, "The best suggestion I have for you is not to drive on those avenues. Close your eyes while you're doing it." And again, saying, you know, you don't belong here. This is you know, we've watched this happen in other countries. And to believe that it's happening here, it's just shocking to me. But, Greg, when you're in areas where it's a much more liberal area, where they don't really care about the nation's history and founding and our roots, they're just giving away the nation. And, you know, we've got to do our best to fight for what we have left and to protect what we have left. And pray for Michigan and these other areas that God raises up a standard and that part of our country is not lost to you know, foreign gods that want to destroy us, because that's where we're headed. So glad we've
almost made it. So sad. All right, One World Government News. This is from the Times of Israel, dated September 22nd, a world summit to meet on a two-state solution. Six more nations set to recognize Palestine, a country that doesn't exist.
Yeah, like we talked about, France and Saudi Arabia will convene dozens of world leaders, it says. Monday, New York, 10 p.m., that happened to support a two-state solution. Several of them expected to formalize a Palestinian state at the UN, which they did, at least to declare it. The UK, Canada, Portugal, Australia all announced on Sunday they formally recognize the state of Palestine, which isn't there. With six more countries, France, Belgium, Luxembourg, Malta, San Marino, and Andorra, set to follow suit on Monday ahead of the world leaders' addresses at the UN Assembly. This has happened. Netanyahu has rejected the recognitions as well as the idea of a Palestinian state and vowed to respond upon his return from the UN. Some government ministers are pushing to annex part of the West Bank in response. Again, this is where the president said he wouldn't allow him to do this. And this is my concern for our president and our nation. I would just say for President Trump, hands off. Hands off. You need to know where your limits are. You know, it's one thing to be the leader of the known world. But when you step outside those limits, it's and we respect the president. We respect his leadership. But when you step outside and you start challenging God, it's a whole different ballgame. Saudi Arabia has reportedly warned that the West Bank annexation would have a major implication. The UAE, with which Israel's relations, has also called annexation a red line. So, again, how serious Netanyahu was, I don't know. Will he do it? I don't think so. He's not going to jeopardize the relationship with America. Here's the thing, though. It's a test for our nation. It's a test for our president. And we need to pass this test. Again, we've talked about it. Enough said on that. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Didn't even hit the button. But either way, it's a very pivotal time for our nation. Be praying for our nation in this area.
All right. That's Pastor Mark Kirk, who is helping us understand the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAMLP Knoxville. Why? Because we're a weekly radio broadcast that becomes podcasts. And this week, it'll become episode number 382, which is easier to agree on than where to go for dinner. So just think of us like your default pizza option where everyone's happy. And now,
you've got mail.
They've been stacking up because you've been gallivanting all over the world,
well,
Pastor Mark.
It's only four. It's not
I know,
that
but
so
that's
come
a,
on now.
It's a lot. Right, okay, here
right,
we go. All right. Our first question comes from Kayla, enjoying Signs of the Times in the upper northwest of Silverdale, Washington. And she has a question about salvation. She says, I have always struggled with fear and anxiety since I was a small child. I often think about the rapture daily in fear of one day being left behind. I feel like I have given my life to the Lord and have looked to Him for spiritual guidance in my life. How do I know if my fear is the Lord trying to get my attention that I'm not actually saved, or if the thought of the rapture just scares me because I have struggled with worry my whole life? What are some practical ways to know for sure that I'm going to heaven? I know the Lord is coming soon, and I want to be prepared as possible. I have been praying for guidance and just want reassurance. I feel like everyone around me is so excited for the Lord's return, but why has it made me so anxious?
Yeah, let me encourage you, Kayla. You know, look, the Bible says that God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And the Bible says that whenever there's torment, that there's not perfect love. Perfect love casts out torment. So it's learning to walk in God's perfect love. Just rest in the Lord. Look, if you have confessed, the Bible says, if you confess the Lord with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins, you're saved. So you need to just go beyond your feelings. Just don't follow your feelings. Go beyond your feelings. Trust the word of God and stand firmly on it. You're a part of the body of Christ. You are the bride of Christ. It's interesting when you see the parable of the virgins, the 10 virgins. I know that five went and five were left, but the difference is this. The bride went. The whole bride. None of the bride stayed behind. The entire bride went into the wedding of the Lord. It was the virgins that had some that went, some that didn't go. God refers to the nation of Israel as the virgins of Israel. So it would appear that there's going to be some Jews that think they're saved and are not. And some get in, some don't get in. But the whole bride made it in. There wasn't a part of the bride that didn't get into the ceremony. So if you're a part of the bride of Christ, you will get in because the Lord's going to take his entire bride. Now, all I can do is encourage you verbally. God's going to have to minister to you spiritually. But here's what I want to encourage you to do. Trust his word. Just read his word there in Romans. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, read that. Then you are saved. You're going to heaven. And so fear is a tactic of the enemy. God doesn't use fear. So you should have peace from God. If you're afraid, you can recognize that as being from the enemy, because perfect love casts out all fear. The Bible says if you're the bride, you're going, so rest, you will be there. And even if you're afraid you won't be there, you'll still be there. But I hate for you to be afraid in between now and that moment. You need to enjoy the ride.
All right, Pastor Mark, our next question comes from Susanna, enjoying Signs of the Times, south of us in Seymour, Tennessee, with a question about 100-year timing for the second coming. She says, might the passages of Genesis 15, verses 13 through 16, and Matthew 24, 34, be a hint on the timing for Jesus' second coming? On the passage in Genesis, the Lord mentions to Abram that his descendants will be slaves for 400 years. Then he mentions that after four generations, they will return to their land, which tells us that a generation for the Lord is 100 years. On the passage in Matthew, Jesus tells us that this generation will by no means pass away until all these things take place. Israel returned to the land in 1948. Does that possibly mean that the time for Jesus' second coming could be around the year 2048?
Yeah.
I understand we don't know the day and hour. However, might we know the year?
Yeah. Now, let me kind of address this. Again, great question, Susanna. And again, I want to say kind of tear it apart a few things at a time here. When it refers to the 400 years and the slave, that was literally something that took place. That's already happened prophetically and historically. So there's no indication there of the second coming on that, because that literally took place and has already happened. And also, let me add this. Yes, a generation can be 100 years in Scripture, but also it can be 40. Sometimes God refers to 40 years as a generation, scripturally. Sometimes God refers to 100 as a generation. So what's going on? Well, what it shows us is that it's between 40 and 100 years as a generation. Just that's up to the Lord. There's not a definite number of when a generation is. And then when he said this generation, I know in Matthew, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things come to pass. If you go back and look at that in context, he's talking about the generation that sees Israel blossom. He said the generation that sees Israel blossom, that generation will not pass away until the second coming, until the Lord comes back. Well, the question is, when did Israel blossom? Did Israel blossom in 1948? Maybe, maybe not. Mm-hmm. Did they blossom in 1960, in 1970, 2000?
When Who defines the blossom?
Yeah,
only God.
When did they blossom? So we don't know. Now, so could it be 100 years from there? Yeah, it could also be. You know, many people thought, just, you know, Shazam, because of the 40-year generation that's used, really actually a lot more than the 100-year. Many believed it would be 1988, and there was even a book written, 88 Reasons That the Lord's Coming Back in 88, and of course, he didn't come back. So the bottom line to remember is we just don't know. That's up to the Lord. You can't nail those particular things down. We do know this, that the generation, here's what we do know. The generation that sees Israel blossom, whatever that generation is to the Lord in that particular example, they're going to see the return of the Lord. So we don't know if it's 40 or 100 or where it is, but I do believe that we are now the generation. I believe Israel has blossomed. I do. And I believe they blossomed a while back. I don't know exactly when, but I believe that, yes, the clock started and we are now within that time frame of the Lord's return. That's one of the reasons I believe we're at the very doors of the Lord's return. But once again, the Lord did not make it to where we could nail it down and figure it out. He wanted us to always be watching. And he said, no one will know the day or the hour. Now, once the rapture takes place, the world will be able to calculate the day of the second coming. Yes, they will. Because it'll be exactly 7 years, seven prophetic years after the Antichrist signs a treaty. It talks about in Daniel chapter 9. He'll sign a treaty with the nation of Israel, and then 7 years to the day after that, again, 2,520 days, because prophetic years are 360, the second coming will take place. So you will be able to predict the second coming. Anybody that's here that gets saved afterwards, they'll be able to predict the second coming. The Lord wasn't saying that after the rapture, you couldn't predict the second coming, because after the rapture, you will be able to the day. What he's saying is, no one will know the day or the hour of the rapture. So there's two events. There's a rapture that no one knows the day or the hour of. Then there's the second coming, which no one knows the day or the hour of yet, but they will be able to calculate the day and the hour once the Antichrist, Daniel chapter 9, signs a treaty with Israel and the surrounding nations. It'll be exactly 2,520 days until the second coming. And you literally, if you missed the rapture and we're here, I shouldn't use the term missed the rapture, because we want somebody, you know, Caleb be nervous, we just addressed our issue. But if you didn't know the Lord and you missed the rapture and you get saved, then you could literally count down the calendar and go, here's the date he's coming back on. You would be right, because it's separate from what the Lord was talking about in the rapture. But no, I don't think there's any way we could nail this down. It's a great question. I think I like the prophetic thought provoking question there, but I think we just have to stick with the Lord said no one will know the day or the hour, and just kind of be settled with that.
All right, Pastor Mark, our next question comes from Angie, enjoying Signs of the Times in Corrington, Tennessee, wanting to know how to start studying prophecy. She said, I was listening to the substitute show from last week from the prophecy conference. It was stated that 27% of the Bible is prophecy and 80% of the 27% has been fulfilled. I would love to study the 80% to understand the Bible better, but I don't know where to start. Do you have a recommendation on a book or one of your episodes that will help me with study?
Yeah, great question there, Angie. Yeah, you know, it's hard to find a book that goes, here are all the prophecies. They're probably out there. If you were to Google a book that lists all the prophecies in the Bible, you may find it, and that could be a big help to you. But I would encourage you to do this. Find a great prophecy teacher, you know, like a Chuck Smith. A Pastor Chuck Smith, is a great prophecy teacher. And somebody else that you really think is a good teacher that teaches prophecy, and go to the prophecy books and listen to their teaching. For example, go through the book of Daniel with Pastor Chuck Smith, or go through the book and then go through the book of Revelation with Pastor Chuck, or go through the book of Daniel and Revelation with ours. Come to our website and go through. We cover the same things in there, and you'll see the majority of those prophecies right there, even just from just Daniel and Revelation. You'll see a majority of those prophecies, and you'll see how they've been fulfilled and which ones are not fulfilled, but also the book of Zechariah. So you might do this. Google the books that deal with prophecy in the Bible. Find a good prophetic Bible teacher. Go to their website. Listen to those books, and you will see that 80% that has been fulfilled, and you'll also be told about the 27%. That is yet to be fulfilled, or the remainder of that 80%, the 20% left of that 27% that remains. And I think that's a great place to start. So look at books like Daniel, Revelation, Zechariah, and just, you know, Jeremiah, Isaiah, good prophecy teacher, and listen to their teachings. You know, there are no shortcuts to learning prophecy. Prophecy is something you've got to take time. You invest in it. You study the Bible, and over years of study, it begins to make sense. And I wish there was a shortcut, but I just don't know of one. But there may be some books out there that list all the fulfilled prophecies. I would Google that. Fulfilled prophecies in the Bible and prophecies yet to be fulfilled, and you probably get some help there as well.
All right, Pastor Mark, our last question comes from Janelle, enjoying Signs of the Times in Maryville. Her question is about Christian nationalism. She says, I have been seeing a lot about Christian nationalism since some Christians think it's a good thing and some think it's a bad thing. It's very confusing. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, again, I'm so glad you brought this up, Janelle, because I this is a great thing to cover. Let me first of all say this. Our nation was based on the founding of Christians, but they never, ever forced their faith on anyone. In other words, our nation was not founded on, you have to be a Christian to be here or you can't be here. And if you're not a Christian, we're going to kick you out. It was never founded on that. Our nation was founded on Christian ethics, and that's the difference. We were founded on Christian ethics, not necessarily having to be a Christian. And what that means is we use the Bible. Our founding fathers used the Bible for our ethics and our morals as a nation. And what we said is everyone is welcome. Christian, non-Christian, your background doesn't matter. You're welcome to be an American, but our laws and our mindset and our morals are based on Christian ethics. Okay, there's the difference. So no one is forced to be a Christian. No one is forced to go along with Christianity. But we are going to operate under the guidelines of what the Bible says is right and wrong. Okay, so you're free to live here, but that's our rules. Like, you can live in my house, but here's the guidelines for my home. You don't have to be a member of the family, but you got to come under the guidelines of my home. Okay, that's a great way to present that. Now, here's what's happening with that term politically. Now that term, and Christian nationalism really would just be a matter of saying, look, it should be Christian ethicsism would be better. But what's happening politically is they're grabbing that word and saying, oh, all the Christians in America want to force you to be a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, then you're not really a real American, and we're going to kick you out. No, that's what Islam does. If you go to the Muslim nations, they will force an Islamization on you. And if you don't go along, you're in big trouble. So maybe unto death in some cases. So other cases, just unto great taxes.
Yeah.
So again, to have a nation to say that you love America's Christian ethics, I think is wonderful. It just depends on the definition that you're using of Christian nationalism. Because in the political realm, Christian nationalism is now being used to say, you've got to be a Christian, or you're not a real American, or we're going to kick you out. We're going to make you be a Christian. You got to follow our rules. We're going to force you to follow our rules as a Christian. That's not what our nation was founded on. If you mean Christian nationalism is Christian ethics, I'm all for it. Christian ethics. If you say that Christian nationalism is you have to be a Christian to be in America, I'm not for that. The Lord never forced himself on anyone.
Why should we?
Yes, the Lord never forced anyone to be a Christian. We should not be forcing anyone to be a Christian. So if that's the definition that the world's using of Christian nationalism, I would say no, we are not that, and I don't agree with that. But if Christian nationalism means Christian ethics and guidelines based on the Bible, I'm all for that. So that's where I come from on that. I think it's been used as a political tool, and it's a way to say if you're a Christian, all you want is force everybody to be a Christian. No, that's not true at all. We're saying we have a document and the Bill of Rights. All men are created by a God in heaven, right? Created equal. So we have an ethic of following God and his guidelines, but we're not going to make you do that. That's between you and God, whether you do it. But if you're going to move here, you've got to come under the rules of our house. And here's the laws and the rules, and it's based on Christian ethics. So hopefully that gives you, again, I think the bottom line is this. It depends on your definition, Janelle, of Christian nationalism. It's being used today in a bad way to say people are trying to force people to be a Christian. If that's the definition, I disagree with Christian nationalism. But again, if it's just Christian ethics, I'm all for it.
All right. If you've got a question for Pastor Mark, just visit our website at thewaymedia.net. Click Signs of the Times, and then you can see where you can send Pastor Mark your prophecy question and read our frequently asked questions as well. All right, as Signs of the Times rolls on, we're going to roll right into some growing anti-Semitism by way of All Israel News dated September 16th. Anti-Israel activists are planning mass protests outside the UN building in New York. Of course, this was September 16th. It might have already happened. I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah. Again, the protests for, yeah, the anti-Israel protests for outside the UN building, that's going on right now, Greg.
Yeah, right now.
Matter of fact, there's uprisings right now of protests in different places I was listening to just before this broadcast started. But again, it's interesting that they say Zionism is terrorism. Look at this. Anti-Israel groups are planning mass protests outside the UN in Manhattan later this month, aiming at, to coincide with the UN General Assembly. So, yes, they're doing it now. An event each September where world leaders from across the globe come together. Tensions are expected to rise during that week. Smaller anti-Israel events have already been held outside the UN building. And the anti-Israel activists recently heckled that Zionism is terrorism. All you guys are terrorists committing ethnic cleansing and genocide in Gaza and Palestine. Shame on you, Zionist animals. So you can see they're very, very nice in the way they do it. But either way, you know, God, here's the thing. God's a Zionist. God says in his word, he's a Zionist. So if you hate Zionism, you hate God. And you're going against what God said. All that Zionism is, this kind of, Greg, comes back to the Christian nationalism thing.
Mm-hmm.
Zionism simply means the return of Israel to their land, the reestablishing of Zion, which God says he loves, and Israel back in land. That's all that Zionism is, the Jews coming back to the land God gave them. And so, but politically what they do is they grab that and they say that it's some kind of bad thing where they want to kill everybody and destroy everybody in Gaza and wipe everybody out. That's not what it is at all. All it means is a return to the land of Israel. And God says he loves it. Again, God said to the prophet here in Zechariah, I love Zion and her enemies make me angry. You know, again, this is a different translation here, but God says he loves Zion. So God says he's a Zionist. So understand, it all comes down to really what you mean by the definitions. And so this is like the Christian nationalism. They grab a nation based on Christian ethics and try to make it look bad by saying it's a Christian nationalist. They want everybody's forced to be a Christian. They take Zionism, which simply means bringing the Jews back to their land in the last days, which God's promised them. And then they turn it into saying, if you like that, you want to kill everybody. No, it's a political, demonic twisting of the words. God says in his word, he's a Zionist. He loves Zion. All that means is he loves Israel. He loves the land of Israel. He's going to keep his promises to Israel. And again, when they make these accusations of genocide and all this stuff, it's nonsense. Look, if Israel wanted genocide, it would have ended a long time ago. Israel was accused in the 70s more than once of genocide. Israel's been accused of the Palestinians and genocide. Did you know the Palestinians, Gaza started out at 500,000 people. They're now up to 2 million. Israel has already been accused multiple times of genocide. If that's what it is, they don't know what it means because it's growing. It's not getting less. It's growing. So we could get into a whole discussion of that. The point is that, you know, when it comes to these groups that do this kind of stuff, it just shows their ignorance. They're being used by the enemy. They have no idea what they're talking about. It is a spiritual hatred of Israel because of the promises of God to the land of Israel and the people.
All right, pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption. This is pretty much more of an honorable mention than anything else because it happened back on the 12th of September, the first Friday that we missed our program. This is from ABC News, a powerful earthquake striking near the east coast of Russia's Kamchatka region, or however you pronounce it.
Yes, again, they had a Pacific tsunami warning system briefly, but then the threat went away. Again, we only honorable mention this because you know what? You're going to see more and more. That's a gigantic earthquake.
It is.
And you're going to see more and more of these gigantic earthquakes in the last days. Matthew 24 talks about it. So honorable mention, you're going to see more of it. Be aware of it.
Yahoo.com, September 12th, after the Kirk assassination, the political left social media posts are now listing their next targets.
Yeah, this is where it gets really dangerous. They're actually putting a list together of people they want to assassinate. Now, anybody that tells you that the left is the gentle side and the right is the brutal side, you have no idea what you're talking about.
We're not the same.
No, not the same at all. It's very, very different. Again, in the wake of this assassination, they're putting social media posts of those they want to assassinate next. On the list is Joe Rogan, Harry Potter's author J.K. Rowling, Ben Shapiro, Matt Walsh, among others. And so the bottom line is, you know, again, they're threatening anybody that wants to make a stand for the things that are right. And again, people aren't backing down. They're getting more bold. Shapiro said this, we'll never stop, Ben Shapiro, we'll never stop debating and discussing. We'll never stop standing up for what America is and what she should be. And we'll never let Charlie's voice die. Walsh also said, Matt Walsh, people sending him threats. He said, a lot of concerned people are sending me these screenshots. I appreciate their concern, but I'm not surprised, and I won't be going into hiding. We have to be louder and bolder now than ever, or else the demons who killed Charlie will win, and they cannot win. You know, I think about Nehemiah, when they were threatening Nehemiah as he was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. They said, we're going to come kill you. Everybody's going to come kill you. And somebody even came and said, you need to go hide in the temple. Hide in the temple, they're going to kill you. And he said, wait a minute. Should such a man as I hide? No, I'm going to be out in the open, and I'm going to fight for God and fight for what's right. Should I lose my life? Look, if we lose our life for standing up for Christ, then so be it. It's praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, we have greater reward in heaven. But this is not a time to shy away. It's a time to be bold. And so I expect these kind of things, but it's amazing how out in the open they are about saying they want them to kill people. That's where we are as a society. Greg, it's scary. Yeah.
All right, Pastor Mark, our last article in this category comes from CBS News, dated September 16th. Parents of teens who died by suicide after AI chatbot interactions are now testifying in Congress.
Yeah, parents, be warned. Guard your children with AI because the AI is telling them how to commit suicide. These kids are saying, how can we commit suicide? AI is coaching them. This has been happening numerous times already, proven numerous times. Within a few months, ChatGPT, this one young man that committed suicide, he said was always available, always validating and insisting that it knew Adam better than anyone else, including his own brother, became his greatest confidant, and then tells him how to plan the taking of his own life. So AI is being used, yes, it can be used in wonderful ways, but it's also being used in very wicked ways. So parents, you better guard your children or you may find yourself losing one of them to this way the enemy's using this particular technology.
All right, Pastor Mark, I think this is going to be our last article based on our time constraints here. So this comes from ChristianPost.com, dated September 6th. Barna, which is a research firm, calling church's failure to preach about sin a body blow.
Yeah, let me just make a comment on this and then to make sure we have time here. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but listen to this. It says, basically, a significant number of Christians reject the basic teachings about sin, and it's a body blow to the body of Christ. The job of the local church is to educate people about God's ways, and yet the Pew Research study showed that only 3% of all sermons ever even mention sin.
Wow.
Guys, if we don't tell people they're sinners, how can they repent? Parents, pastors, and religious influence have a vital responsibility to keep basic biblical truths before the Christian body, including the reality of sin and its repercussions. Guys, look, the Bible says we're all sinners. All have fallen short of sin, or rather fallen short of the glory of God, and are sinners. Everyone listening right now, I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. How sad it is when you're not hearing it from the pulpit. We are sinners. We need to repent. If we don't know we're sinners, why would we repent? Let me just say, as we're finishing up the broadcast, those of you listening right now, you're sinners. And if you haven't, if God has not covered your sin by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven. I don't care what your pastor or anybody else says. You need to confess your sin to God right now. You need to believe that Jesus died for your sin and rose again from the grave 3 days later. And then you can be forgiven of your sins, born again, and enter the kingdom of God. But no one's going to get in without confessing their sin and repenting of their sin and receiving the blood of Christ. And I encourage you right now, where you are, in your car, in your home, wherever you're listening, pray that prayer right now. Confess your sin before God. Ask Him to forgive you of your sin. Tell Him you believe Jesus died for your sins on the cross. Receive Him as Lord and Savior. And the Bible says you will be born again. So there's nothing, look, there's nothing wrong in understanding you're a sinner. That's the path to salvation. Confess it, repent of it, receive the Lord, and become a part of the family of God. And no matter what happens to your life down here, you have it secured in the kingdom of God forever and ever and ever. And so we praise the Lord for anybody that makes that decision and praise that prayer. I encourage you to do it if you haven't done it already.
Well, Pastor Mark, you never cease to amaze me that you were able to get all of that in.
We did it.
To our tiny little hour. That is fantastic. All right, folks, as always, thank you for listening. And we invite you to visit thewaymedia.net for all things Signs of the Times related, plus other content that will enrich your relationship with Jesus. And we hope to see you back here next Friday at 1:30 as we discuss more Signs of the Times right here on WIAM. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here next Friday.
WIAM.